chapter 27 of Isaiah. This chapter corresponds with the book of Daniel, and this is the final triumph of the restored remnant of Jehovah. It's going to be a wonderful day when that day comes. All of God's purposes. This will be at the end of the 7 years that we're especially speaking of in this chapter, and in most of the book of Isaiah. As we get on over it, we'll probably come into some that speak primarily of the 1,000 years or the millennial reign. But we're not told too much about eternity. Glenn and I were talking about that the other day, and I don't think we could comprehend really what it's going to be like in eternity. No sin. During the 1,000 years, it will be restrained because Satan will be bound, but he's going to be loosed at the end of the 1,000 years. But after the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, and there's going to be no more sin. And the bodies even that will be on earth will be changed. They will no longer be an old creation. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And when we look around and drive through the country and see the terrible condition man is leaving the land today, it's so different from what it was years ago when we watched the farmers. They were willing to get out and to take care of their land like they should. Today they don't care. You know, if they even have a machinery that you can sit on your tractor and use this thing to cut the limbs off that are hanging over the field. And it's the most ugly looking thing. They just cut the limbs. You know, they don't get out and cut the tree down and take care of that. They cut these limbs and they leave them all jagged. And I thought, how terrible, man. He doesn't care anymore. It's hurry and get it done so I can go on and do something else. That's the thought. Well, the Lord's going to stop man one of these days, and every knee is going to bow to the Lord. All right, I believe we'll read through this chapter, and then we'll go back to it. In that day, with his sore and great and strong sword, it shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day, and notice how many times, in that day, this is at the end of the 7 years, in that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Oh, let him take hold of my strength. This is the remnant. That he may make peace with me. And he shall make peace with me. And he shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Hath he smitten as God, as he smote those that smote him? Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. By this therefore shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sins, when he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder. The groves and the images shall not stand up, yet the defense city shall be desolate, and the habitation forsaken, and left like a wilderness. There shall the calf seed, this is Jerusalem, this is where it's going to be. There shall the calf seed, and there shall lie down, there shall he lie down and consume the branches thereof. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire. For it is a people of no understanding. Think of that. This nation Israel. Therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount of Jerusalem. All right, before we get into this chapter, we had two verses in the 26th chapter that we didn't comment on last week. Chapter 26, 20, and 21. Let's just briefly look at them. Now again, Isaiah is speaking of Israel, of the remnant. He says, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place." Won't that, this is going to be a glorious day. "To punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain." This is quite two verses here that are very important. The word chamber here is the inner chamber. And he says, "If my people," and in the Hebrew, this is a feminine word. It speaks of this remnant that's going to be the bride of Jehovah. The remnant is going to be. Let's go to the 54th chapter of Isaiah and read regarding them. This book is full of this, speaking of this remnant. Isaiah 54, and we'll begin with the 7th verse. "For a small moment have I forsaken thee," and that's what he calls the little while he's turned his back on them. And I think how long it's been. When he said in Acts, "Lo, I turn to the Gentiles," it's been that long. And he calls it "a small moment have I forsaken thee. But with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not be depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be renewed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." God made a covenant, and we'll be getting into that when we get into Jacob. But he made a covenant with this nation, and he is going to keep this covenant. He never breaks his promises. Let's go back to Isaiah 29 and the 17th verse. He talks about this moment. 29:17. "Is it not yet a very little while, and let Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest." And then over in the 10th chapter, back up a little more, and 10th chapter and the 25th verse, he talks about this little moment quite often. 10:25, "For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease," that is the tribulation, "and mine anger in their destruction." He repeats this verse in Hebrews 10:37. So it's just a little while that this will happen, this tribulation that comes upon the earth. All right, this remnant is, he says, "Come, my people," in this 21st, "and enter thou into thy chambers." This is the inner chamber. Let's go over to Psalms 27 and read Psalms 27 and verse 5. 27:5. All right, 27:5 of Psalms. This is speaking of the remnant. Now, they're going to go through some terrible trials, but notice what he says here, 27:5 of the Psalms. "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock," up upon a rock. That's Christ. The Lord's going to preserve this people, and this is for us now. We can claim these victories. He hides us in this inner chamber. Since this company is going to be the bride of Jehovah, one of the study books says this is the bedroom. This is where the bridegroom is going to meet the bride. And as we said, this remnant is the bridegroom, or the bride of Jehovah. It's the remnant. And then in the 30th Psalm and the 5th verse, this is a wonderful verse for any time as we go through these things. For us too. 30 and Psalms 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Don't you love that? That's wonderful. In the night of trial, praise the Lord. For a little moment. Now let's go over to Haggai, the little prophet Haggai. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Well, we've overlooked it somewhere along the road here. Some of these little prophets were wonderful little books. All right, that is after Zephaniah, if you can find Zephaniah. It's between Zephaniah and Zechariah. All right, Haggai 2 and the 6th verse. He says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Do we believe this? We see these things coming, like they just had down, where was it, had that, yes, that terrible earthquake. And notice what we read in the 7th verse. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. So these things are coming. And that also is quoted in Hebrews 10:37. Just for a little moment, he tells them to go into thy chambers. It reminds us, and that scripture that we read there in the 54th chapter of Isaiah there, he speaks about Jonah, if you recall there. He's in the 9th verse, he says, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. Remember when the Lord took Noah into that ark? Who shut the door? The Lord shut the door, didn't he? And Noah couldn't get out until the Lord opened that door. And this is the way that the Lord's going to protect this little remnant. God shut the door, and this little remnant is going to be safe from the waters of judgment that are going to come upon the world. And they are coming very speedily. This word, a moment, is literally a little wink. Now, can you imagine that, what God calls this tribulation? A little wink or a twinkling of an eye. And then this 21st verse is, all of these scriptures are so wonderful, and when we go through this, I want to understand what God's talking about here. He says, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Where is he now? He's up there in the glory, isn't he? He's going to come out of that place. This is Jesus himself. And the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. We think of all of the battles that have been fought since the beginning of time. I thought, in 91 we went to England, and they had the Battle of the Roses, and we stopped there and saw that monument they put up there, and the many thousands that were slain at that battle. Over land, and the blood of these people is in that land. And that's true in all the wars that have ever been fought. The blood of the people, of the men and even women that fought, the blood is in the land. Well, he's going to uncover. Notice that. The earth also shall disclose her blood. That's quite a statement, isn't it? This man's blood sunk into the earth. And man, that blood of that man and that man has been forgotten. But God hasn't forgotten. God remembers. And now the time has come. And we read in Acts 17:31 that the man whom he hath ordained is going to come to judge the world in righteousness. Amen. Won't that be wonderful? And his eyes are going to expose all the innocent blood that has been poured out upon this earth. That's going to be quite a day. I have a scripture over in Luke. I wrote several scriptures down today. In Luke 11, let's look at this one. Luke 11, yes, this is a good one. Luke 11 and the 47th verse. There's several rows in this chapter, and this is one of them. Luke 11 and verse 47. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Now just think of this. Oh, and we know this from the Old Testament, that many of those prophets that God sent were killed by the nation. Of course, they said God sent his own son, and they killed him. He says, truly ye bear witness that you allow or agree the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed kill them, and ye build their sepulchres, and they worship them. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world, just think of that, may be required or demanded of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. And I believe we're living right there today in that time. But that's quite a statement there. He's going to uncover, disclose her blood, the earth's blood, of all these people, and shall no more cover her slain. That's going to be quite a day, isn't it? Praise the Lord. All right. Any questions on those two verses? Well, let's move on then in chapter 27. In verse 1, it's kind of a verse right by itself. And this is the final destruction of Leviathan. Leviathan, the word Leviathan, is a compound word, and it's made up of Levi. What does Levi mean? Joined. And then the last part of it, Leviathan, is Van, T-H-A-N. And Van means a dragon or a serpent. So together, it means the joined dragon. Let's go over to Job 41. Now, it's not the animal, the creature, that we're speaking of. This is Job 41, and let's start with the 12th verse. This chapter is all about Leviathan, and we're not going to go into that, but he's a type of Satan and type of the Antichrist, the Satan primarily. 41, chapter 41 of Job, and verse 12. I will not conceal his heart, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. This is when God's going to reveal Satan's ways, and he's going to bring him, as 2 Thessalonians 2 brings this out. Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. This was Bill taught this years ago, and he went into this, and I have written in here from his studies that this creature, the animal creature, he has 60 teeth in three rows. Let's play now the crocodile. 60 teeth in three rows. What an animal. But notice the 15th, the verse. His scales are his pride, shut up together with a closed seal. That's quite a statement, isn't it? And in my margin it says, his scales are his pride. I have courses of scales, or in the Hebrew, channels of shields, and they're shut up together as with a closed seal. And then notice, let's see, on down there, there's another verse we wanted to read. Okay, in the 34th verse of this chapter of Job 41. Now this is the thing of Satan. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. And this is Satan, isn't it? This is the reason the Lord cast him down, because of the pride that he had. But notice in our study chapter that the Lord is going to come with his sore and great and strong sword to punish Leviathan. This word sore, and in another rendition, it's called severe or sharp. That is, it's keen and it's incisive. This word, and we read in Revelation 19 that he's going to come and speak from the words of his mouth, and we'll read that in a little bit. And then it's described as great, and this means he's able to overcome all forms of evil. He's the only one who's going to be able to do this. The word strong means it's effective and thorough in its work. When he comes down, and let's read Revelation 19. This is when he comes to take care of this trinity of evil, because it's not only Satan, but it's the Antichrist and the false prophet. Revelation 19, in the 11th verse. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. It's this right here that we're reading. It's Christ himself. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth, here's this sword, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. This is 1,000 years that will be in process. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the kings of the earth won't like it, but they're going to have to acknowledge that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. All right, let's notice in this first verse, the piercing serpent here is a type of the Antichrist. The crooked serpent is the type of the false prophet. And then the dragon, we know, is Satan himself. He's called the dragon, and I'll just give you the scriptures. He's called the dragon in Revelation 22. He's called the dragon, that old serpent. So we have the triunity of evil there, that the Lord's going to come, and he is going to slay them and punish them. That's going to be wonderful. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's read verses 2 to 6, and I want to read them. This is a song of the vineyard that expresses God's care, and I want to read it out of this other version. Praise the Lord. He says, a pleasant vineyard singeth. I, Jehovah, keep it. Every moment water it, lest anything should harm it. I will watch it night and day. Wrath have I none. Who will set against me thorns and briars in battle? I would march upon them and burn them up together, or else let him hang dependent on my strength. Make peace with me. Peace make with me. Isn't that wonderful? In coming days shall Jacob root, shall blossom, bud, and fill with fruit the face of all the earth. Wouldn't that be a wonderful day? Praise the Lord. I love that fifth verse. Make peace. This is why he's pleading today with man. Because man doesn't know peace. And we read here in Isaiah, the wicked are like the troubled sea. They can't find peace. There's no peace to the wicked. The only peace that there is in Jesus Christ. The vineyard here is, again, a feminine word. And Jehovah himself is singing this song. It's going to be a wonderful day for this God, the triune God, when they come to claim back that which they bought. And Jehovah Hell himself sings this, and he's telling forth what he sees in this vineyard. Now remember in the fifth chapter, there was a vineyard too. Remember, this is the same vineyard. But when he came, let's go back over there just a minute. When he came, what did he find? This is when he came, when he sent his son down. And his son, he didn't find what he wanted. He found a rebellious nation that wouldn't even accept his son, but they killed him, put him on the cross. The fifth chapter, we could read in the second verse, he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, and he planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it. This was Jerusalem. And also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes. All it brought forth was wild grapes, stinking grapes. But now notice the difference in this one. This will be after the judgment. This remnant at this time is going to be a new creation. God is going to have dealt with them in his judgment, and they will have turned to him. They're going to be identified with him. That's going to be wonderful. They will have accepted Jesus as their Messiah. So in this third verse, He says, I, the Lord, do keep it. I'm going to water it when it's needed. And this is what he does in our lives. He gives us the water of the word when we need it, and he speaks it to our heart. And he keeps a constant watch over us, night and day. He never sleeps. We sleep, but he's awake, and he watches over us. See, we're joined to him. He loves us more than any of us can ever imagine. He loves us with a love that will never end, and he watches us. See, he paid a great price for each one of us. Each one of us, he paid a great price. And we can't really comprehend that sometimes, what he really paid for us. This dear one that left the glory, Jesus himself. But in this fourth verse, we read that, he keeps it, he waters it, and he says in the third verse, lest any hurt it, I will keep it night and day. Now this is this little remnant that he's talking about here especially. And in this fourth verse, we read there that he's going to defend this little remnant, and he loves them. He made a covenant with them. And all the opposition, the briars and the thorns, when did they come, the briars and the thorns? With a curse, yes, after the fall. Briars and thorns, remember in Genesis? All of these things that sin brought, he's going to go through them, he says, and I will burn them together. I would march upon them in this other rendition and burn them up together. Isn't that going to be a wonderful day? He's going to press through, for they speak of the curse, and he's going to destroy everything that concerning the curse that is upon man even today. So if the curse is upon all, everything, then we're going to read in Romans, and some of us are familiar with that, that we look at the little birds that fly around. The curse is upon them. The curse is upon the animals. The curse is upon the ground. That's why we get out and have to get at the weeds out of the garden. It's because of that curse. But praise the Lord, Jesus became a curse for us, and we're not under that in the new creation. Isn't that wonderful? And one of these days, that we read that in Galatians, and one of these days, it's going to be lifted from the earth too. That's going to be a wonderful day. Praise the Lord. When they go through this time of trial, this remnant in the fifth verse, pleads with them, let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, or he shall make peace with me. He repeats this. And another translation of this verse is, only there is their peace in him. As we too hang dependent entirely upon him, we grasp upon him for protection. In Ephesians 2:14, we read, he hath made peace through the blood, or by the blood of his cross. We have peace today. He is our peace. It's a wonderful thing to have peace and not have our hearts just in turmoil all the time. And Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by peace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has made peace with God. We have this peace today. Isn't this wonderful? Praise the Lord. He has made peace. And he did the justifying. We didn't do any of that. All we do is believe that we were justified by faith. And then we have peace. As in Romans 5:1. And this verse, this fifth verse, expresses his deep, deep love for this remnant that he has a covenant with. And the depth of his heart that goes out when he says, make peace, make this peace. We see that nation over there today in turmoil. They cannot have peace. They're trying to make it themselves. And he pleads with them here, make peace with me. And then this is what he does with all man. He wants man to make peace with him. But man just thinks he doesn't need it. And he goes his own way. But the only way that we have peace is through Jesus Christ, isn't it? That peace, as we read in John 14, that comes down from above. We can't get it out in the world. And as we wake up in the morning some days, it seems like things are thrown at us, but we think, oh Lord, you know, but I've got this peace down inside of me that is there, and nothing can disturb that peace. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. This sixth verse is good. He says, he shall cause that man that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Jacob here. What's the meaning of Jacob? Supplanter. He's a supplanter. The covenant was made with Jacob. Let's go over to Genesis 28. And it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. See, this last 3.5 years. Jacob left Abraham. Was it Abraham and, yes. Left Genesis 28 in verse 11. This is when he left. And Rebekah wanted him to go, and so he left. But this is the covenant that God made with this nation as Jacob. Let's read from the 11th verse. And he lighted upon a certain place, this is chapter 28, and he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth. This is Jesus, tied with him. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending, notice, and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Remember, this land belongs to Israel. It does not belong to the Arabs. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. That includes us. And behold, I am with thee. There's a personal Maybeth. I am with thee. He's with us. And will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now, that reaches clear down to this time we're studying about here in Isaiah. He hasn't left his nation Israel. He has his hand upon them. He made a covenant, and that's that covenant there. That land belongs to them. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the little book of Amos. Daniel, Hosea, and then Amos. Praise the Lord. You know, when we give out the word, it's God's word. And there's one person that doesn't want it given out. And you know who that is? And he sure likes to fight, the one who gives it out. Amos 3 and the 2nd verse. He says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Talking about Israel. He only has known them as a nation. He's the only one. That's the only nation that God knows and that he's going to keep as a nation. In Isaiah 37:31, oh, the Lord blessed me today in studying this. Isaiah 37:31. Praise the Lord. These scriptures are going to be fulfilled. There's not one jot or tittle of them that's going to be left unfulfilled. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 37:31. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Isn't that wonderful? For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Praise the Lord. All right, after this remnant accepts Jesus Christ, they're going to be called Israel. If Jacob became Israel after God made them dependent, made Jacob dependent upon him. How did he make Jacob dependent upon him? Remember? Dropping in the sock, in the hollow of his sock, and he limped from that day on. Now, God may do this to some of us physically, but he has a reason for it, if he does. He wants us to be dependent upon him. I know, I remember when I broke my foot, cracked my foot, and Glenn had to push me in the wheelchair. I was not embarrassed of it. I was so glad to be at church. Come if you in a wheelchair or what. Somebody will help you. The Lord uses these things to see what's in our hearts. Do we really want to come? Do we really want to hear the word and take it in? He makes us dependent upon him. But this nation is going to fill the whole earth. Notice Israel. It's going to be Israel. After they go through as Jacob's trouble and they take root, then Israel, the new creation, is going to blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. This is the fruit, the new creation fruit. And this is what God loves to taste. It's a sweet taste to the Lord. It's sweet to him. The sweet savor of his life within us that goes up to him. And this remnant is going to have this life within them too. They're going to be a new creation. And God is going to bless them, and he's going to take them to himself. Praise the Lord. But my, they're going to go through a lot before that time. All right, let's go through them from verse 7 through 11 now. These verses, we see a contrast here between God's dealings with Israel with those of her oppressors. Today, all the nations round about Israel are oppressing her, every one of them. And they're trying, and they will take Jerusalem. They will take it. There's going to be an image set up in that holy place, and these other nations are going to set it up. All right, the seventh verse. Hath he smitten him as he smote those that smote him? Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? This just tells us that God has not smote Israel as he has the other nations, as the smiters have smote Israel. The first one was Nebuchadnezzar, and then we come to Jesus' time, A.D. 70, Titus came in. And there were many in between those years that smote this nation, Israel, and they did it in a fierce, violent way. But when God does it, notice this eighth verse, in measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt be bait with thee. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. He measures out his chastening to Israel. Even though it may be long, that first captivity was 70 years that they were in captivity when Daniel was over there and Ezekiel. Let's go to Psalms 118 and verse 18. Psalms 118 and verse 18. This nation that as from the beginning has not obeyed, they never obeyed the Lord from the beginning when Moses led them out. But verse 118, the chapter of Psalms 118 and verse 118. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Now this is this little remnant. The Lord's got to take care of them. He measures out, notice this, their chastening. He limits it. This east wind here tells of the suffering that blew upon them. And the rough wind was his blast that scattered them. The east wind always speaks of suffering. And when he came, and this rough wind was the judgment. And I don't know if any of you have read some of the history of this nation besides what's in the Word, but they took those young people and made slaves. And we read of one of the kings that had a little maid, and I forget who it was. But they made these young people their slaves. So they've been through a lot. They have Naaman, yes, that the Lord told to be baptized. This little slave girl told him where to go, yes. All right, the ninth verse, by this therefore shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin, when he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, the groves of images shall not stand up. He wants their idolatry to come to an end. This is what this verse primarily speaks of. The final purpose of this rough wind will be to purge Jacob, but he measured it out very exactly so that it would not endanger Israel's existence as a nation. He wants to preserve this nation. Now, I want to read some scriptures in Jeremiah that are really precious along with this. Let's start in the 10th chapter, Jeremiah 10. And the 24th verse. This is what the Lord does with us. He disciplines us, doesn't he? And he trains us. But he doesn't do it all at once. He doesn't put upon us any more than we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Jeremiah 10:24. I'm going to read the 23rd. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Don't you wish man knew this? We learn this, don't we? O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. He didn't want this nation brought to nothing. He has a covenant with this nation. Now let's go to the 30th chapter, Jeremiah 30 in verse 11. See, this nation's going to be preserved. All the other nations of the world are going to come to nothing. 30 and verse 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in a measure or with judgment, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. See, he reiterates this fact. Now let's go to chapter 46 of Jeremiah. Chapter 46 and the 28th verse. Notice who he says, and I notice in these scriptures, it's God that put them out of the land. It's God that drove them out of the land. You know, notice in this one, in chapter 46, verse 28. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee. For I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven thee, but I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure, again it's in judgment or with judgment, yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. He is going to take them through that tribulation. God's just going to sift this nation. He doesn't destroy it, but he's going to sift this nation Israel. That's what he does with us today. Remember when the Lord told Peter, he said he is sifting as wheat is sifted? That's what he does with us. He sifts us. And we're going to come to a wonderful verse here pretty soon. But I just was blessed today. But God's anger is not without love to this little remnant. He punished them, but only to be able to pardon them. This is the means of their salvation, is their punishment. And this is all the fruit, the result of their repentance is the fruit that comes when he takes away their sin, as we read there in the ninth verse. When he takes away their sin, then the fruit comes from that new creation that is there. Praise the Lord. As we read there in the ninth verse, the purpose of their punishment was for them to be delivered from their idols. But you know they're going to have another idol in 2 Thessalonians. Let's go over there and read that. They're going to have an idol in 2 Thessalonians 2. This is when, in the seventh verse, 2 Thessalonians 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now hindereth, and I'm going to use that word because that's what it should be, hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way, and that's the bridal company. He'll hold back this mystery. The bridal company holds back this mystery of iniquity until we're taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, and notice it capitalized, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness or the manifestation of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, this is the Antichrist, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. One reason, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It's a wonderful thing to love the truth, to hold on to that truth, as in Revelation 3. Then for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, and that should read a working of error, that they should believe the lie. And that's the Antichrist. That they all might be damned or condemned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness or in apostasy. And this is what Christendom is full of today, is apostasy. To love the truth, it will cost us something, but it's going to be worth it all. And thank the Lord, it will be worth it all. All right, this 10th verse of Isaiah 27, this city, as we said, that he talks about here, this defense city, is Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem. And the ones who are building it today is the apostate nation of Israel, of the unbelievers. They're building this city. In chapter 22, let's go over there. Chapter 22, we've read, and you can look back over your notes on this. We didn't go back over those, but I'm just going to read this, these verses. Chapter 22 and verse 11. This is what this nation did and is doing today. You made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but you have not looked unto the maker thereof. See, they're not looking to the Lord. Neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. And in that day did the Lord of God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. But, and behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. And they said, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die, saith the Lord God of hosts. And then in the 32nd chapter of Isaiah, we'll be getting into this one more a little later, chapter 32 and the 14th verse, and the 19th verse. We'll just read these two. They're building, let's read the 11th. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. This is Jerusalem. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever. A joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Just think of that. The 19th verse, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, the city shall be low in a low place. This is all speaking of this earthly Jerusalem that's going to be destroyed. And then we read in this 30th verse of our lesson that her ruins are going to be overgrown with branches. And we see this, of course, today everywhere. And then the women are going to come, and they're going to take these branches and use them for firewood, as verse 11 says. The boughs thereof, they shall be broken off, and the women come and set them on fire. And let's read the rest of that verse. You know, it would be a terrible thing to be in this place, a people of no understanding. Wouldn't that be terrible? To have no knowledge of the word, of what's coming. We know what's coming. We read it here. And we can have spiritual understanding, knowing that what God says is going to come to pass. But this is what he says, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. Praise the Lord. That's going to be quite a day for that nation. All right. Now, these next two verses are precious. This is the ones that were especially precious to me in study today. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will beat off his fruit, in the margin, from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. This is good. Let me read another translation of it. And it shall come to pass on that day, Jehovah will appoint a beating of corn from the water flood of the Euphrates to the brook of Egypt, and ye will be gathered together one by one, O sons of Israel. And in the next verse, and it shall come to pass in that day a great trumpet will be blown, and the last ones in the land of Asher come, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and cast themselves down before Jehovah on the holy mountain in Jerusalem. Now, we've got some good things. This was the precious part of this to me. The threshing floor that Jehovah is going to have is going to be all the land that was promised to Abraham. Let's go back to Genesis and read how large this land is going to be. Genesis 15 and the 18th verse. It's not going to be that little strip of land that they have now. It's going to be, as we read here, 15:18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now I think most of us are acquainted with the map. The Euphrates is over in the land where Iraq is today. All that land that Jordan has, that Iran has, that Iraq has, clear to the river Euphrates, belongs to Israel. And clear over to the river of Egypt, it's called, or some call it the Nile. It will be that fall. This is going to be the Lord's threshing floor. This is where he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. And the words here, beat off, it means to beat off as olives with a stick or a flail. And he's going to use this stick to do it. He's going to be the thresher. And this is what was so precious to me. And these fruits were too tender and valuable to be threshed. Now, most of us here are acquainted with farm life, with the combines that go through the fields. This fruit that the Lord's going to take from this land of Israel is going to be too precious to use the threshing machine. He's going to use it on most of Israel, but not this little remnant. This is yours. We'll wait for you. And keep in mind what we said here about this fruit was too valuable to be threshed with the big threshing machine. But he took this little stick, and God's going to do this little stick, and he's going to use it for this purpose, so that these people, as they will be people, will not be injured with that big threshing machine that's going to go through the land. Now Ruth used this in Ruth 2:17, if you want to write that down. In the 28th chapter of Isaiah and the 27th verse, we'll get to this in more detail when we get over there. He says, for the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cummin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cummin with a rod. This stick was used to spare them and to take care of them. Now this is going to be a field, and I want to mention first about these huts. You know, we used to, when we combine corn and even wheat, you have the outer skin, don't you, the wheat, but what's it called, the chaff from the wheat, yeah. That's left on the ground, isn't it? And what comes out is the germ, the wheat germ, the wheat itself. This is also true with corn. The husk is left as a rule upon the ground. And yes, and the cob too. And what's taken out? Just that grain. See, this is what the Lord's going to do with this remnant of Israel. He's going to just preserve the grain that which he wants. And the husk. Now, of course, right away, when I read this about the husk, I thought about the prodigal son in Luke 15. He went out. Let's turn over there just a minute. You know, his father gave him his inheritance, and he went out, and he was, in the 15th verse, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, where he went and he sent him to the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He didn't even get the husk. But these husks that he speaks of here, they were sweet, and they used them for feed. But that speaks of the natural. And I thought about many things I thought about the husk, was about these bodies that we carry around. You know, it's the husk. They're made out of dirt, out of dust, and they're going to go back into the ground, just like the farmer used to have the husk go back into the ground for what do they call it? Some of you farmers help me. To help in the soil, anyway. Compost, yes, in the ground. All right, this field, this whole field that he's going to deal with here and bring forth his remnant. They're going to be a field of dead men. Remember we had that last week in Ezekiel 37. As far as God's concerned, they're going to be dead men. And in this field, there's going to be not only the remnant, but there's going to be the apostate Israel also. And he's going to judge them, but he's going to bring this remnant out. He's going to leave the husk. And he's going to deal with them separately. He's going to separate the apostate nation from this little remnant. They're gleaned or gathered, and I love this, one by one. One by one. It's an individual work he's going to do with these people. Now, isn't this what he does today in our lives? He doesn't call the masses. He's not going to call all the nation Israel. He's going to call individuals out of that nation. Now, if we today have question marks, well, why isn't my family coming on? This is the reason. He calls us out from among families. As he did Rebecca, he calls us out and he takes us on as much as we would love for many of our family to come on. Is it still an individual matter for each one of us? Revelation 3, 2 and 3, to all of those churches, what did he say? He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now we can pray for them, and we want them to come on. We do, but the Lord knows their hearts. We don't know their hearts. But what the Lord wants us to do is to go on. Yes. We go on. I know this for a fact. We've experienced this going on, and we leave behind our family. I've left behind my family. Even my sisters, some of them, do not comprehend the depth of what we have in Christ. But we go on. The Lord has chosen us. We've not chosen him. John 15. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Each one of us he has chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen ones go on. They don't lag behind. They don't wait for somebody. We can't wait or we'll be left out. Now, we're going to stand before the Lord as individuals. We're not going to stand there with our mate or with our family. We each one are going to stand before the Lord. What that Shulamite? Think of the Shulamite. She says, draw me, draw me. She wanted the daughters to come, but they didn't come. I remember years ago, a dear family member told me, she said, I wish I had the strength you have. See, that spiritual strength. And I said, you can have. Just yield to the Lord. All we have to do is listen to him. And when we know that he's called us and chosen us, go on. As Glenn brought out Sunday, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting the things that are behind. There are a lot of things behind that would hinder us. A lot of dead baggage. We have got to leave it behind. We've got to do it. We've got to look forward. The next thing that's going to happen is a catching away of the bridal company. There's nothing else of prophecy that has to be fulfilled. And I look for us to go anytime. I'm saying us because I'm trusting all of us go. Because that bridal company in Revelation 6, and we've said this many times, is going to call forth that Antichrist who's going to make peace. Now, this is how close we are to the coming of the Lord. We're right at the doorstep. We're going to go. But this, what happens here, will be about 7 years later after the church is in heaven. The bride is there. The second rank is there. The third rank, which will be made up of all Israelites, as Revelation 7 and Revelation 12 tells us, they're made up of 144,000, the man-child. There are no Gentiles in that group. The fourth rank will be earth-dwellers. They will be down here. They'll be part of the church, but they'll still be down here. But the heavenly people, this is what he wants. He has purchased us to be a heavenly people, not an earthly people. He wants us to value what his son did for us on Calvary. Praise the Lord. But the Lord is going to separate. He's separating today. He's separated from first chapter of Genesis. And he does this, as we said, one by one, in the most careful way that's possible. Let's read the 11th chapter and the 12th verse. 11, 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And he's doing this now. Let's go over to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, 43 verses 5 and 6. Remember what we read there, one by one. They are coming into this land today, but in unbelief. Then he's going to gather them one by one as this little remnant. 43 verses 5 and 6. Fear not, for I am with thee, the great I am. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the end of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Isn't that precious? Man, each one of us was created for the pleasure of God. We weren't put here to do our own thing. But we were created for his pleasure, we read in Revelation. For thy pleasure we are and were created. That's why we're here. Our life is very short on this earth. Very short. I think of the years, my years past. It's gone. Only what God has done in my life is what's going to last. Everything. I looked at my father's diary and made some copies of them. in 21, my folks started into the ministry, and my, the places that they went. We went along, I went along, traveled everywhere, taking Paul's gospel. Now they're there, they're waiting for us. I honor them in the Lord because it's the truth that they gave us. We're passing what the Lord has revealed to us on down to you, dear one. Hang on to it. Don't let it go. Because as we told you, and I believe it's going to happen, the weather is going to be terrible from now on. I believe it's coming. We're in a transition time. Don't hang on to natural things. Let them go. Sister Conno used to say, let the Lord loose our tent peg. We're going to take off one of these days. We're just living in a tent. This great trumpet that's going to sound, that's going to be blown, this is when the remnant and all the new creation, they come, and I've written in my Bible, this is going to be at the Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah. I didn't get into that part of it, but let's go over to Zephaniah, the little book of Zephaniah. It's right after Habakkuk. Zephaniah 1:16. There's a lot of trumpets that are going to sound. This one's going to be at the end of the 7 years. Zephaniah 1:16, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. These high towers speak of religiousness that's going to come down, man's work, everything. Then in Zechariah, let's read Zechariah 9:14. Won't it be wonderful to be delivered out of this world of sin? Zechariah 9:14, and the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as a lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. All of this is good. It's wonderful. Now let's go to Matthew 24. These chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew are regarding this tribulation time, when the kingdom age will have begun. The kingdom age, or the millennial, will begin when Christ takes his throne. Matthew 24 and 31st verse. Well, let's read the 30th. No, let's read the 29th. 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. This is what we read in Zechariah 14. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Heavens are going to open up, and he's going to come down from where he's been sitting for 2,000 years. Won't that be glorious? And he shall send his angels, or his saints, this is saints, with the sound of a great trumpet, of a trumpet, and they shall gather together for his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's going to be quite a day, isn't it? Praise the Lord. It's going to be a day of judgment, but yet it's going to be a day of revelation to this nation Israel. We read there in Zechariah 14 that they're going to look upon him whom they pierced, and they will know him. They'll know that that's the one. This is remnant. Praise the Lord. All right, just a thought now on these two nations in the 13th verse. Let's read the whole verse. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come with which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. These two nations just represent all the lands of Israel's exile. They're going to be, they are everywhere in the world. There are Jewish people, Israelites in the nation in Africa. Yes, there are black Israelites. They are all over the world, and the Lord is going to gather them together, and he's going to thresh them, this nation that he has this covenant with. Praise the Lord. Now these purposes that God purposed and foreordained before the foundation of the world are going to be fulfilled. No man can stop them. Satan can't stop them either. They're going to be completed. This earth is going to see one nation redeemed and under the government of God, recovered from death. That's Israel. Every other people is going to come in under the nation Israel. They're going to have to accept Christ as their Savior, and Israel will be the head of the nation and not the tail any longer. The other nations are not going to toss her around like a back and forth like a ball. I see Barack over there sitting at tables trying to figure out how are we going to do this, trying to make peace, and Arafat sitting there very cynical, knowing that he has all the oil and that these other nations are backing him. They're not backing Israel. They're backing the Arab nation, Arafat. They want Israel to give up Jerusalem, and Israel's going to give in. They're going to do it. And won't Arafat, well, he's going to be judged by God too. But these purposes are going to be fulfilled. This world's headed for trouble. That's all it's headed for. Now, you can say, well, you're sure of, what do they call them, a cynical, yeah, and what? Yeah, the doomsday prophet. All I'm getting is the word. All we're getting is the word. It's what the Holy Spirit's saying. It's this word, and it's coming. The financial markets are upside down. Everything. It's like, it's just, I don't know, sometimes I can feel it in the air. Can you sense it sometimes? It's like it's waiting. But then all of the heavens are going to be filled. And that's one of the purposes of God. That the heavens are going to be filled with redeemed humanity. And that's us. We're going to be up there enjoying a glorious resurrection and translation. It's going to be more wonderful than Israel will have. But all of this is going to be brought about by one person, and that's Jesus. He shed his precious blood. He redeemed us from the wrath to come. Let's close with Romans 8. I look at the faces of humanity today as we shop and do our business, and I see the younger generation full of rebellion. I don't know. It's so different from the years that we were young. It's a lot different. Romans 8:18. Paul, praise the Lord for dear Paul. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest or intense expectation of creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's us. The whole creation is waiting for our manifestation. For the creation was made subject to vanity or profitlessness, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now just think about this a minute. We like to watch the birds. We see these little pretty, what do they call them? The ones that are just come straight from chickadees. I like to watch. They're in a bondage of corruption. They get out of feeder, and boy, they'll fight. Some of those birds will just push another bird clear out of the way. See, this is in them. They're in bondage to this enmity, to this fighting spirit that's within natural man. I'm going to defend my territory. Isn't this man today? Well, then it will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Wonder how they'll act then. So we know that the whole creation groaneth. Did you ever get up in the morning and moan and groan? Your body didn't want to go with you? I go into Dr. Hayes and sometimes he asks me how I am. I say, well, I'm just fine, but my body doesn't think so. Well, this is us. Our body isn't us. Yes, thank the Lord it isn't. Our body is this. It's Christ in us. Is Christ. It's Christ in me. We have a treasure. For to me to live is Christ. He's living in us. No longer I that liveth, me, myself, and I. It's no longer I, but it's Christ that is being manifested in these mortal bodies. What a marvelous truth. For the whole creation groaneth, travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And that's what we're waiting for. Praise the Lord. Won't that be wonderful? And then that next verse, for we are saved by hope. We're delivered by hope. See, we don't have to be downhearted. We used to sing that chorus, are you downhearted? No, no, no. We're not downhearted. We know that the world is going to be judged by God, and many of our loved ones will be left down here because they haven't run to win Christ. Many that we know will be left. They'll have to go through the first part of the 7 years tribulation. I believe that second rank, after the bridal company's gone and they know that God meant what he said, they're going to awake, they're going to search and the word and really want to yield to the Lord then. I believe they will. Many that have heard these truths. But they cannot be in the bride anymore. The bride is already gone. They'll be in the second rank. It'll be caught up, that second rank will be caught up right in the middle of the first 3.5 years. That's the Pergamos thing, assembly. And Pergamos means much married, which means much married to the world. Many saints are interested in making this world a better place to live in. Why do it? Why do it? See, their whole energy and their time is trying to make the laws of this nation better. We can't do that. They're taken up now with this abortion deal. Well, I guess that's what I better say. They're not of this world. We're under the government of God. We obey the laws of the land. But thank the Lord, we have a righteous king over us. Praise the Lord. Any comments, questions? Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad we can run the race? We're almost to the end of it. The scriptures are wonderful, Bill, aren't they? They sure stir our hearts, don't they? Make us realize that we're right at the coming of the Lord. And aren't we glad? Wouldn't it be wonderful, Rick, to have a body that's fashioned like unto his glorious body and be away out in the world where there's rebellion and everything is contrary to the Lord? We'll be found, yes, yeah, we'll be found. Well, he'll keep us till that glorious hour. Yes, and they started to clone a human being over in England. Yep, they've given them permission, the house of the Lord, to clone a human being. See what the world's doing? The spaceship that Russia has up there is about to fall. You know, they're just going up to the lower heaven. Satan's in the second heaven, but we're going up to the third. We've already been taken up there. That's where we're going. Far above all principalities and powers. He's going to seize us out, take us out of this world. Praise the Lord.